Warning, the following episode of Warcity's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of AJ Warcity and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
I stand here before God and my Father in heaven tonight, as I said I would be world's heavyweight champion. In the tradition of Lou Vez, in the tradition of Jack Briscoe, of the Briscoe brothers, of Dory Funk Jr., of Terry Funk, the man who'll never die. As the real nature boy, Buddy Rogers, upstairs tonight. From the Harley races to the Barry Windhams to the Ric Flairs. Dusty Rhodes. This is it tonight, Dad. God, that's beautiful. And Rick Steamboat. And they can all kiss my ass.
What in the hell is he doing?
Because I am not the man who accepts a torch to be handed down to me from an organization that died, R.I.P., 7 years ago. The franchise, Shane Douglas, is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling.
That's the easy
tonight,
your belt.
Before God and my Father as witness, I declare myself, the franchise, as the new ECW Heavyweight Champion of the World.
Shane Douglas declaring himself.
We have set out
ECW
to change
world
the
champion
of professional wrestling. So tonight, let the new era begin. The era of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your man, your job soul brother, another one. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini, and good God, it's been a long time since I have been sitting at this table, my goodness. Fuck are we? I am so all over the fucking map right now. Where the fuck, where in the world could we possibly be? I'm going to have to double check. I know I just hit the button, and I probably should have checked before I hit the button, but you got to bear with me on this, because my head is fucking spinning. I'm so all over the goddamn map here. Here we go. 104. I am bequeathing episode 104 to you guys, and if the title of this episode has not led you astray, I would like to clarify with you that that will be the main topic of this conversation here today. performance arts, these nuts. I couldn't have come up with a better title to sum up my opinion on that. Probably a spoiler alert, considering which direction I'm going on this. But we'll get more to that in our top news story of the day. That's right, we're going to be having our top discussion about that later on the show. That's the main event. Let's get to some of this preliminary stuff going on here. The XFL's made some news. NXT versus AEW, we talked about it a little bit last week. We're going to divulge a little bit more into that here today because there's been some recent news coming up that's going to change a few things. King of the Ring tournament's progressing here. We're going to talk a little bit about that here as well. I mentioned it again over the vacation, how excited I was for some of those first-round matchups. First-round matches have concluded. So we're going to discuss that just a little bit here. And, of course, you know I have to talk about this. You know I have to talk about this. I divulged so much into it on social media. Had to come up here. There is a young guy, YouTuber, Superhuman. We're going to talk a little bit about that here today. What we're going to talk about is how my anger about this situation has nothing to do with him. We're going to clarify that. We're going to get a little bit more in-depth into some of this stuff. Actually, the performance arts and the Superhuman thing might collide there. Those two topics might get into some shit there. But before we get into all the business, let's talk a little personal, guys. You know I like to open up my shows with a little personal repertoire with you guys. First of all, first and foremost, thank you for listening to Orsini's Uncensored Mind. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you've already heard the spiel. But if you're new, and according to Podbean, some of you are, let's run it down just real quick for you guys. I am your host. This is Orsini's Uncensored Mind. If you're listening to this on any other platform, let me clarify that the server in which I upload these episodes every Saturday night at 9 p.m., except for last week I was late because of, you know, shit. But every Saturday night at 9 p.m., all you need to do, so head over to ajoum.podbean.com/AJOUM. That is all you need to check out and be up to date to all the episodes, all 104 now, I guess, because of this, 104 episodes of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. But AJ, what if Podbean fails? What if Podbean's not loading? What if Podbean's not working? I have the solution for you. All you need to do is check out basically every other podcast server, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music. I've got a bunch of them. All you need to do, hit up the old Google machine, type in Orsini's Uncensored Mind. It will give you all the options in which you can catch the show. You will never, ever, ever, ever be out of reach from me, motherfucker. You can listen to this show anytime you fucking want. No fucking excuses. Now, the numbers that I always get back as far as my my success or not success, depending on the particular episode, comes through Podbean. So I do stress people, if you're going to listen, do it through Podbean so I can keep track of what's going on here and where I need to go and yada, 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 and what's it. So I've had a few people hit me up, let me know that they downloaded the app just for the show. For those of you who have done that, you're listening to my show now on the app, thank you. Thank you for downloading the app. I think Podbean would thank you too. I don't give a fuck if Podbean thanks you or not, but I thank you for downloading the app to listen to my show. Also, if you want to support the show, I don't do donations or anything like that. It's a free service. We're all just having a good time. Fuck it. But I do have ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM. The t-shirt is actually on sale right now as we speak, now that I think about it. I think, what do we have, like one more day? What is this? What would it be? Today is, I'm recording this Friday night. So there should be a, sale. Yeah, this is going to go all the way through Labor Day weekend, baby. Let's pull that document up. Again, very unprepared today because I'm doing all this kind of like at the last minute type shit. But there definitely is a sale, and I want to let you guys know what that sale is. Here you go, right in front of me. I'm really quick on the computer, which is why I have zero problems with scrolling through stuff. But it's a Labor Day sale. You're going to save 20% off on everything. So I'm kind of doing a public service here by telling you that ProWrestlingTees.com in general is having a 20% off everything sale. All you need to do to get your hands on this wonderful, wonderful savings of 20%. I mean, my t-shirt's like what, 20 bucks, something like that, plus shipping? That's going to save you quite a few bucks, actually. It's an online in-store sale only. Use the promo code LABORDAY. One word. Put it together. LABORDAY. Labor Day. And you can get 20% off of everything at ProWrestlingTees.com, including my shirt, which is at ProWrestlingTees.com/ AJOUM. That's all you need to do to get 20% off on that. So support the show. Do whatever you can, I guess. You guys share it a lot, too. You guys are always supporting the show. Squad of O is always behind their friendly neighborhood general that is me. So thank you guys for supporting the show on that. Personal story, just real quick. I need to share this with you guys because you know how I love telling you guys personal stories before we get into the business. Lightens the mood up a little bit. Originally, when I was coming into this, I was coming in with some fury. I'm feeling a little better, but I don't know. When I get to those topics at the end, I might have fury all over again. I'm not entirely sure. But for now, just real quick, a quick update, if you will. So, my son, just real quick. Over the summer, this has been a huge year for him. First of all, he's reading now. That's weird. And over the summer, he just got really good at swimming. He's not full on. I mean, he can't fucking do laps yet. But he's treading water. He's getting from point to point. He really, like, he was doing pretty good before Florida. And then Florida, he just kind of exploded. So now he's really, really waiting for an opportunity to get back into water. So we've been spending a lot of time with my son. He's been doing all kinds of cool shit with him. We've been doing all kinds of cool shit with him over the last few months or whatever. But this weekend, although it is Labor Day weekend, it's a very special. It's a very special weekend for me and Mrs. O. Because me and Mrs. O, we will be celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary this Monday. I believe it's Monday, the 1st. It's the 1st, so Monday, yes. This Monday will be, Sunday. Sunday the 1st, we will be celebrating our 10th year wedding anniversary. Now, for those of you who don't know us personally, funny story about the married and the being together thing is I asked her out September 1st, 2003. So that's when we started, like, officially dating. And she's bad with dates. If you know her personally, you know she's not good with dates. She runs everything through a calendar. It's a thing. So in order for her to not be confused on anniversary dates, we decided to get married the same day that we started going out so that the day didn't change. So it's September 1st, 2003, and then we got married September 1st, 2009. So it's 10 years married, 16 years together. That anniversary is this Sunday. So if you thought I was off-grid over vacation, I will definitely be off-grid this Sunday. So I just wanted to give you guys a little peek behind the curtain here and to let you guys know that this podcast has meant so much to me for everything that's been going on. But what's really most important to me, obviously, my family and, of course, my marriage, which I'm super dope at all of those things. I'm super dope at being a dad. I'm super dope at being a husband. I'm super dope at being a host. I'm super dope in the wrestling. But I'm super dope just in general. You know, I feel like every now and then every now and then you got to blow yourself just a little bit, you know, just for the confidence level, just a little bit, just to remind yourself how ridiculously fucking awesome you are at things. Sometimes you got to take those moments and you got to think back and go, you know what, I'm pretty awesome. As a matter of fact, to prove to you how awesome I am, I have prepared something that I'm going to play for you guys so you guys can get an idea of what I'm talking about when I say awesome, okay? This is going to give you a clue right now. Yeah. Okay, I haven't done that in a while, and I'm pretty sure I caught some of you guys left field. If you're new to the show, the previous episodes, I would try to randomly catch people that, and I haven't done it in a while, so that felt good. 104 episodes. And I'm still a Jinder Mahal maniac, baby. I know he hasn't been around in a while, but that's fine. They're still paying him, and that's all that matters, baby. 5-year deal. Sniff it, bitches. I love the fact that he's taking a break right now. Reset the batteries, man. You know, wait for Lesnar to get back into position and then pounce like a tiger. Like a Bengal tiger. Like a rabid, foaming at the mouth Bengal tiger. Just rawr. Just angry. He's still Brock Lesnar is still ducking Jinder Mahal, by the way. I'm not relenting on that. He's ducking him, and he's smart too, because Jesus Christ, why would you want any smoke with Jinder Mahal? Speaking of getting some smoke, Vince McMahon looks like he wants some smoke with the NFL because he is really moving forward with this XFL thing. I have not spoken too much about it, and the reason for that is because of two reasons. A, there isn't really much as far as developments go in the project, and B, a lot of you fucking people complained when I was doing sports before, so I really have been kind of been keeping out of it. But since there has been some recent news, so to speak, I thought I would chime in and bring some of it up here for those of you who probably didn't know. First of which, of course, XFL, Football League. I'm starting at the bare beginnings here. Football League, folks, that's what it is. It's the Football League. Vince McMahon is doing yet another Football League. He's bringing not just any Football League either. It's not like he's starting from scratch so that people forget. No, he's doing the XFL again. They have a release time date of February 2020. How that's going to work out, who fucking knows. That's actually not too far from now. My birthday, my son's birthday as well. We share a birthday. So XFL is going to be coming out around that time. They released a lot of shit in February. The network started in February. I remember that. Anyway, 8 teams have been announced. That's the big news I want to let you guys know. 8 teams. So in case any of you have a team in your local area, this is probably the one time you're probably going to hear about this, I guess. There ain't too many people talking about this. For good reason, I'm sure. But I can't resist. So, of course, we're going to start off in Texas. Of course, Texas has to have 2 football teams because, duh. Because who loves football more than Texas? Nobody, that's who. Dallas gets a team. The Dallas Renegades. Houston Roughnecks. Roughnecks. The Houston Roughnecks. I can't hear Roughnecks without thinking of Starship Troopers. Roughnecks. That was the group that Rico was with. The LA Wildcats, because that's original. The New York Guardians. Now, they're calling them the New York Guardians, but it's a picture of a lion? All right, cool. St. Louis Battlehawks. I'm not going to front. The color scheme, the sword with the wigs. This shit looks hot. This is the one. This is the one of the group. Seattle Dragons, with an actual picture of a dragon. Tampa Bay Vipers. In the Washington, D.C. Defenders, which is IOD. But let's go back to St. Louis for just a second. If you get a chance to Google this, the St. Louis Battlehawks, this color scheme, just everything about this just screams badass. I just love St. Louis's logo here. So we have 2 teams in the central of the country. L.A. and New York, obviously, right? West Coast, East Coast. St. Louis, again, South. Because, again, football. Seattle Dragons, all the way in the Pacific West, Tampa Bay in Florida, and the Washington, D.C. Defenders over on the East Coast. So we have 2 in Texas, 1 in St. Louis. Those are all very southern. L.A. over on the West Coast, followed by Seattle, which is also on the West Coast. New York and New England, D.C. somewhere in the middle, and then Tampa Bay and the Vipers. There are literally no teams in the Midwest or in the central states. Just none. No Chicago, no Detroit, nothing in Ohio, nothing in PA, nothing in nowhere. There's no, it's like a, if you put the points on a map, it looks like a fucking U. It goes from Seattle to LA, scoops down into the Texas area, we can move over to St. Louis a little bit, keep it down in Tampa Bay, up a little bit toward the water, toward DC, and of course in the corner with New York. It's a fucking U. There is an entire, I have to say at least 60 to 70% of the fucking country that will not be represented by fucking teams. Now, I get it. You don't want to spend yourself into a hole too soon. 8 teams is the usual startup. I think the XFL has something like that before. And as we all know, the NFL started like that. But God damn it, son. This is the age of the internet. There's not a whole lot going on locally. I hope you have some sort of streaming options because a lot of these people are not going to fucking games. There's just nothing around them to even go to. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know they put some of those teams in cities because they're big cities. L.A., New York, for instance. I'm going to be honest with you. No one in New York is going to these fucking games. Not that I know. I don't think it's going to be the turnout that they fucking think that it is. For multiple reasons. A, this city is just not that big of a football fucking city. It's just not. We've got the Giants, we've got the Jets, and it's the Jets, so never mind that. And the Giants, when they're hot, They get talked about, but they've been garbage for a minute as well. And this is coming from a Giants fan, so hasn't been much talk going on about football. Basketball, forget it. This was, when I was a kid, this was definitely a baseball and a basketball town. Not even really basketball anymore. It's pretty much baseball. And it could go either way, Yankees, Mets. It's usually where, like, the hatred is or whatever. Hockey, a little bit. We're getting a little bit more hockey-centric. When the Rangers are good, you can get a little bit more interest in it. But we have so many. We have professional soccer here. No one fucking goes. We have a lot of different sports opportunities here for different areas. New Jersey's, for some reason, we include North Jersey. I don't know why. Long Island, they have different options over there. But, you know, nothing. We don't really turn out for shit like this. So I don't know what the fuck they plan on doing with all these teams. But God help them. God help them. Anyway, that's the XFL news coming up there. I just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there. Let's talk a little bit more now about the King of the Ring. Let's talk about the King of the Ring for just a little bit because I wanted to make a solid point here. Actually, I don't want to make a point. I want to add on to a previous point that I made in a previous episode. We have the King of the Ring tournament here, and I made mention of this when I was in Florida about how I like these matchups, the first round matchups. There weren't a whole lot of quote-unquote older people in this matchup, and when they announced these first-round matchups, I said, for anybody who is older, they're probably only really in it to get over the next guy, which is exactly what happened, because I think of the group, I mean, The Miz, Shelton Benjamin, I can't really think of, I'm looking at the list right now, I'm looking at all these names, maybe Cesaro, because he's been here for a while, but for the most part, a lot of these guys who have been here for forever who are in this tournament all did jobs in the first round, including Cesaro. So we have Samoa Joe defeating Cesaro and moving on. Ricochet with the huge upset, in my opinion, for Drew McIntyre. I don't think Drew McIntyre was going to win the tournament, but a showing would have been nice. They had a dope match. Drew and Ricochet need to throw hands again soon. That was actually really good. Cedric Alexander and Sami Zayn, with Alexander going up. Baron Corbin over The Miz. Everyone saw that coming. I did not see Owens losing in the first round to Elias, but at the same time, Owens doesn't really need it. Ali over Buddy Murphy was a shock. My pick was Buddy Murphy. I thought this would have been good for him to at least have a good run, a good showing. His match with Ali was very, very good. But Ali goes over on that. Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Again, Shelton's job was to put over Chad. He did so. Chad goes over. And Apollo Crews and Andrade, with Andrade going over on Apollo. And that's it there, first round. So your second round matchups is going to be Samoa Joe versus Ricochet, Cedric Alexander versus Corbin, Elias versus Ali, and Gable versus Andrade. So those are your second round matchups, quarterfinals as they call them. I think that confused people. Quarterfinal. Semi-final. I always just found it easier to explain. First round, second round, third round, final. It's just easier to do that. I know that people are used to, you know, the higher ups say a quarterfinal. And the NCAA does it. Quarterfinal matchup. Semi-final matchup. Which, when the NCAA does it, it's even more dumb because these are the same people who coined the phrase Sweet 16 and Elite 8. Like, people know those things more than they know the fucking quarterfinal. Like, no one gives a fuck. First round, second round, third round, final. So you got the first round already done in the bag. Here's the second round. I just gave it to you. And I got to tell you, now that we've seen some knockouts here, like I said, I picked Buddy Murphy, but Ali won. And I'm not even that upset about it because Ali, I think, could use a strong run in this as well. Chad Gable, I was hoping, would come out a little stronger against Shelton Benjamin than he did. It was okay. Cedric and Sammy had an okay. This is the point that I'm going to expound upon. Because I keep trying to tell wrestling fans all the time, and wrestling fans don't want to listen to me, but I'm going to have to say it again. Because if you watch the programming, if you really watch it, then you'll understand how right I am about this, and you need to stop having your head explode. Okay? I'm trying to decrease stress in your life. Don't you understand that? I'm trying to get you to understand something so you stress less. Okay? And what I need you to understand is WWE fans don't go to WWE shows to watch wrestling. They don't. If the wrestling happens to be good and it catches their fancy, fine. But today's wrestling fan who goes to the WWE, They're not going to the event to watch wrestling. They're just not. Cesaro and Joe went out there and had a fist fight. I mean, just a raucous, just a hell of a match. And they got that huge pop when he threw the European at him, Dreda the gun. And then they had to get him back. For some reason, they got up, and then they just went down, and they stayed down. Ricochet and McIntyre had him. But Alexander and Sami Zayn died a death. Died a death. It wasn't that the match was bad. If you watched that match, it wasn't really that bad. But it didn't really grab anybody either. That audience went to sleep. Miz and Baron Corbin, I'm not even touching that. A matchup of two guys who, whatever, when it comes to wrestling. Kevin Owens and Elias. Owens always gets people. The character is just too over at this point. Ali and Buddy Murphy, again, dope match. Great match. Everyone was sitting. Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. This one actually was a better story than a match. They were actually telling a bit of a story here when it came to Chad. And the height deal, and they're really going over about the fact that he's a little mini powerhouse type deal. But again, on their hands. Apollo Crews and Andrade, on their hands. These people are not coming to the events to see wrestling. If that wrestling happens to be good, fine. But this is why I always tell people, you can't put these people on the same pedestal as other companies, and you can't put these people in the same pedestal as the wrestling you grew up on. It's just not the same. It's not the same. They don't look at it the same. They don't treat it the same. It's just, it's entertainment through and through. Entertain me. I really do feel, because people will complain about Raw and SmackDown having goofy shit. What's with all this goofy shit? The people who go to those shows appreciate and like the goofy shit. They do. I haven't been to a show in a long time, but I've been very selective. Evolution I went to, WrestleMania I went to. Okay, I've been very selective as to which shows that I go to. But every time that I go to a show, the answer is the same. You got to see them. People will go and they'll laugh. They'll laugh at it's cheesy, it's corny. You look at it on the screen and you scoff. What a joke. But in the building, they laugh. They laugh, they joke, they tell stories. I've seen people carry full-blown conversations in the middle of AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. I've seen it happen. They're not going for the same reasons that you're going. So to be frustrated and to call them that, you're not wrestling fans then. No, they're wrestling fans. They want to go. They pay their money and they support. But they're not in this for the same thing you are. They're not in this for a five-star classic. They're not in this. This is why people always say, well, I hope this person, whatever person, let's throw a name out there, right? Okada. Let's just say Okada. Well, I hope Okada never gets signed by the WWE because they would just ruin him. They would ruin him. You know why? Because they would make him something else. And do you know why they would make him something else? Because what he does, people who go to the WWE don't pay to see. Shinsuke Nakamura is a badass. He is an amazing performer. He is an amazing wrestler. He ain't there to wrestle. As soon as you find that out, the better it's going to be. That's why the successful indie guys, the guys who are indie stars or well-traveled at the very least, who go to the WWE and find success, find it because they release themselves from the responsibility of what they've been trained to do. They know when they come to the WWE, they're sports entertainers, they're not wrestlers. They have to perform the acts that you would inside of a wrestling ring, but it's just not the same. The style is different. You wrestle within the confines of an entertaining story. And that will range. Sometimes the match will require good wrestling because that's the story, or it would be like two competitors going at it and they're trying to one up each other and blah 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 blah. Or you can have the squash match, or you can have the guy win decisive, or you can have an underdog story. You're going to wrestle under the confines of the story. The story is not the wrestling. That's where overseas wrestling, seems to be the current state, but or overseas wrestling like the UK or Mexico, where they tell the stories with their bodies. You know, old school wrestling. They get in the ring, they perform, and they tell their story inside the ring. That's not what the WWE does. They're more of a visual product. They're more of commercials and spots and all these different things. Subway sandwich commercials and Boost Mobile or whatever the fuck crazy shit they got on the TV. That's what they do. When I watch these King of the Ring matches, I'm going to be honest with you, I enjoy them. I've been enjoying the King of the Ring matches. They're really, really good matches. But what takes me out of the match is that the people who are watching them couldn't give a fuck. They couldn't give two shits. The only one, I watched all of them, and the only one where I felt like from beginning to end, the audience was just with it. Ricochet and Drew McIntyre. That's it. That's the only time I really felt like beginning to end, this is a story. They're really telling this. So I have my concerns about this tournament moving forward because I felt like the original plan for this was to get as many guys over as possible. But if they're all going to go out there and do their own thing and no one's going to really react the way that, you know, Vince would like them to be reacted to, then that's going to lead to a much bigger downfall than people believe. Because then Vince will sit there and say, look, I let them go out there and do their thing. People say all the time, wow, I wish more shows took place at Full Sail because then the indie crowd would get a hold of it and it would sound cool. Well, okay, well, I let them go here and popcorn fart. So what the fuck? If it's not going to work my way and it's not going to work your way, then the end result is I'm going to do it my way. And in the end, Vince feels vindicated. Happens every fucking time. There's been many situations where they've put your favorite in the spotlight, pushed them forward, and the support just wasn't there. And the problem isn't you, the hardcore fans, not supporting. You support. But you're outnumbered by casuals who tend to not give a fuck about how good a wrestler is. So it's very different, and it's a very delicate balance the WWE tries. That's why now I'm glad that, well, I was just going to say, I'm glad the NXT brand has been expanding the way that it has because it gives you an opportunity to see that. But now, actually, that's a perfect segue. Let's get into that shit because now we're in a different league here. We're in a different situation. I spoke about it, I believe it was last week. NXT versus AEW, the war. What is it good for? We were just doing this last week. And in a week's time, not only is everything that we discussed last week been confirmed in a sense of timing and dates and scheduling, now we're starting to see the chirp. It's starting to happen here. Jericho making his feelings clear about not fearing WWE's, you know, practice squad or whatever he was calling them. And then, of course, Triple H's comments being made public about involving some NXT UK talent on the Wednesday. Well, they got 2 hours of programming they have to do every week now. So, yeah, they're going to need an influx of some new talent, some different talent. And I think that's the real horrible part about all this, because the one piece to the puzzle that AEW has that the WWE does not is AEW is not in a position of overexposure. There's a lot of new talent in AEW. A new style. A fresh look, if you will. If you will. For wrestling fans and, to be honest with you, non-wrestling fans. They have a different sense about them. And that's good. That's what's going to work in their favor. But if the WWE was to present a product that also has a fresh look, that also has a bunch of talent who do not suffer from overexposure, that will cause a problem. Because if the reason why you like AEW coming up is it's the new shiny toy, if the WWE is going to present to you also a new shiny toy, that causes a problem for AEW. I don't think they're scared of it. I don't think they're going to shy away from the challenge. But the challenge will be there because if you look at the NXT squad without UK, take out the UK, right? If you just look straight up and down, pound for pound, and compare rosters, NXT to AEW, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. The current NXT roster is better than the current AEW roster. It just is. Take away Jericho and Moxie for a second. We're just going pound for pound, new guy to new guy, NXT has a stronger roster, and it's not even close. But, in my opinion, AEW has the best upside because the new talent that we're seeing from NXT will have to conduct their business under the umbrella and under the handcuffs of the WWE. AEW is not doing that to their talent. So while talent-wise, physically, maybe even charismatically, NXT may be a superior brand, I actually believe AEW has the best chance of success because of their opportunity to be creative. That is what's harming the WWE. Its lack of creative. And the AEW will have an opportunity to provide some of that moving forward. So I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I'm going to have to, in the short term, especially since NXT is coming up first, is September 18th, as a matter of fact, to AEW's October 2nd. They're going to have a chance to jump start this war, and they're going to get a chance to go first and fire hard. They already dropped the tag titles to O'Reilly and Fish, with Cole being the NXT champion. You know that NXT North American Championship is not far away from being around the waist of Roderick Strong. They are the workhorses of NXT as the Undisputed Era. And their best shot of separating themselves from AEW. Because you just know that if Undisputed Era was not in NXT, they would be running roughshod in AEW. That's just a duh scenario. So I in the short term, NXT is going to get the upper hand in this exchange. Very early on, NXT is going to showcase that they're just better. But if AEW can stick to its guns, if the roster from AEW can sit down, shut up, and listen to guys like Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley and Cody Rhodes and all these guys who've been around the bend, this is going to be a comeback like nobody's business. This is going to be the super babyface comeback. You can already see that they have the support of so many people. If they can come up with the creative to support it, it's going to be a completely different ballgame. And I'm going to tell you this right now, right off the bat. If AEW intends on going balls out, and I know that they said something about intergender and hardcore not being on the television show, and I get that because it's hard to do that on national television. I get that. But there are other ways to be creative, and they keep insisting that they will be. If they're going to innovate, they're going to do some different things, and they're going to try and think outside the box. If that is indeed the case, if that's where they're headed with this, and they're going to think, quote-unquote, outside the box, yada, yada, all right, we're going to get a chance to really see how these guys perform under pressure. And if they rise to the occasion, NXT's in trouble. NXT's in trouble because I have the distinct feeling that the WWE is putting NXT to go against AEW as a countermeasure, but I still believe in my heart that Vince McMahon still sees NXT as a fucking developmental. I still believe in my heart that he's still going to look at that. So while they're putting NXT on the USA Network and while they're still putting NXT in a public eye, I still feel like he's going to gut that roster every fucking 8 months, the way that he does it now. I don't see any of those people sticking around. I still see, especially if it becomes a brand like everyone hopes that it is. Because now you've got three brands, and now when you start doing drafts and supplements and blah, 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 you're going to be changing a lot of shit around. And to be honest with you, it's going to be ECW all over again because there's going to be a lot of guys from the main roster who do not fit into the NXT situation. You can bring some of those NXT guys back. If you want to put Shinsuke back in NXT, you want to put Sami Zayn back in NXT, you want to put Joe or whatever the hell you want to do, Balor would be nice. That's fine. You can send them over there and you can freshen it up that way. But to put guys over there who do not, a Baron Corbin to NXT. And I know he started in NXT, and I know that he used to be in NXT before, but even then, he didn't really fit, which is why they called him up so damn fast. He doesn't wrestle that style. Especially not now. If he didn't then, when he was a wrestler, he damn sure doesn't fucking do it now. So that is it right there. NXT and AEW, they're gonna have their moment in the sun. They're gonna have their battles. They're gonna go back and forth. NXT is gonna win a lot of those battles early. But if AEW sticks with it, and they actually get creative, because I'm going to be honest with you, the shows they've done so far, they're just shows. I'm not impressed. They're just shows. They're good shows, but that doesn't tell me that they're equipped to win a war. When I start seeing creative, when I start seeing people, they have a lot of creative people on that roster. When I start seeing that bag being opened up and all those tricks flying out, then we're going to see what's up. And I think if AEW can hit all the notes, get all the creative going, and convince these people that they're just as good, maybe better than NXT, WWE is in trouble. Absolute trouble. Now, let's move on to another topic I want to discuss here. Just real I'm going to say real quick, but you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it probably ain't going to be quick. I got 20 minutes left. I'm going to use all 20 minutes of this sumbitch. So here's where we land on this. There was a gentleman who is a YouTuber. And this is going to transition from one to the next. I'm going to lump all this shit together. Yes, I'm going to rant. So either skip ahead or delete it or whatever the fuck you want to do. But this needs to be discussed. Okay? I discussed it on social media a little bit. Burning a hole in me for like a week. So I got to get this shit out. There is a gentleman, a young gentleman, calls himself Superhuman, two M's, okay? I'm sure he has a real name. I don't think his government name is Mr. Super and Human, as it sounds Israeli. I don't know. It's not his real name, I can assure you. I don't know his real name. I don't give a fuck about his real name. I don't give a fuck about him. What I give a fuck about is what he represents. What he represents is a fucking problem. Now, I've seen the decline slower. I've seen the decline. Just over and over and over, just decline. Especially since I started. When I first tried to get into this business, which was in the late 90s, I could not get in. It was almost impossible to do. Couldn't get in. I would throw money at people for training. I would try everything in my power to get in the ring and learn how to do this shit professionally. And it just wouldn't happen. I was too small. I was too young. I was whatever the case was. So I got a little older. And I got a little bigger. And I got a little bit more money in my pocket. And it was still impossible to fucking do. Year after year. Even when one guy would teach me something here and there, it would stop, and then I would have to go to another place, and then it would stop. It was turning into a trial of how bad do you really want this, and eventually I wanted it so bad I finally got in. Yes, it happened eventually. I eventually got in, folks. But here's the thing. This is the point I'm trying to make with this. This used to be a fraternity or a sorority, depending on how you want to look at it, or depending on which angle you're coming from. This used to be a business that was super hard to get into. And the reason for this, or at least it was in the past, is because of the whole kayfabe deal. They wanted to keep the secret. So in order for them to keep the secret, they had to monitor and make sure they took account of everybody who was coming in and out of the damn business. They couldn't just let anybody all willy-nilly into the business just because they fucking felt like it. There were things you had to do. You had to get licensed. You had to do this. You had to do that, right? Million and one things you had to do to be in the business. And if you were in the business and you acted a goddamn fool, you were out of the business just that fast. Boom, click that. It was monitored. People kept track of this shit. Not every asshole getting off of his couch can come into the wrestling business. And there was a reason for that. Now, and I've made this rant before, I think one of my angriest fuck rants about promoters and people who play promoter, and they're not real promoters, and they're not real people who know the business. They just cashed in their W-2 return, and all of a sudden they bought a ring, and now they're a promoter. It goes so much deeper than all that, because this kid is a YouTuber, okay? This kid is a YouTuber. He does weird shit. He puts, like, barbed wire on boards and like just anything stupid that you would want, like thumbtacks on shit and shit on fire, and he just jumps into it. Like, that's the whole video. Like, he preps it. He does like this big promo about what he's about to do. Don't try this at home. And then he jumps into the shit and damn near fucking kills himself every fucking time. There is a thing going around that he might actually even be mentally challenged. I don't know. I work with mentally challenged kids, and sometimes you can tell right away, and sometimes you can't even tell. It really depends on the person. I haven't heard anything diagnosed, so I don't know. So I'm not going to spread any rumor on that. But what I will say about this is I don't – he's going to be booked in a match, okay? He's going to be booked in a match, and it's for – I know the name of the company, but I'm not going to say it because I'm not here to plug a company that would do some stupid shit like this. They put him in a five-way, it's exactly four other people, but what I was going to say is it's like they put him in a five-way with, like, real talent, which is weird. It's like Joey Ryan's in there, and I can't remember all the fucking names, but they're, like, trained, legit talent, and then him for whatever reason. And I've been told all week, oh, they're not going to have a real match. You know how that goes. AJ is going to be a gimmick, and they got to play it up like he's not even supposed to be in there, and blah, 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 which is fine, but you're missing the point. Because in the meanwhile, while the joke might be funny or the punchline might be funny when it happens in front of that audience, okay, which is not even happening until October, all right, and it's being advertised in August. In the meanwhile, this is the type of shit that non-wrestling fans will see and laugh at. This is what they see. It's like, hey, I haven't watched pro wrestling in so long. Man, I used to watch Stone Cold and The Rock, and they'll go on YouTube, what's wrestling looking like now? And then they see this fucking kid. And then they say that wrestling's a joke. And then you can't get mad that they say wrestling's a joke because you're in support of this bullshit. I have no problem with this kid at all whatsoever. He wants to beat himself over the head with shit. God bless him. Go ahead and do what you got to do. I don't even care about all that. He's got what? That's another thing, too. He's an attraction. He brings in tickets. What fucking tickets? Explain to me what tickets. What wrestling fan is leaving his house to drive to this venue to go see Superhuman wrestle? Anybody within the sound of my voice paying money to go see that, they might catch it on YouTube or something if they stream it, or I don't know, something like that from their own home. But who is spending the gas money, the concessions money, and the ticket money to go see Superhuman? And I can switch that around on you and say that if, as a promotion, if you have a whole roster full of talent and you couldn't draw without Superhuman on your show, fold the fuck up. Because you either are a shitty promoter and you can't draw, a shitty booker because you can't get your fucking talent over in your own local area, or you just don't know what you're doing at all in this business and you don't need to be in it. That's why people keep telling me, well, if it draws the fans, what does it matter? Listen, if I had access to two female porn stars, and I had them go into the ring and finger fuck each other for 5 minutes, that would draw a house. Just because I can draw with it doesn't mean it's a good fucking idea to be doing. A live execution on Facebook Live would get 40 million hits off the bat, not to mention all the fucking people who just happen to not be on Facebook at the time who will catch it after the fact because you can replay and you can rewatch live videos. Just because it will draw, and just because it draws an interest, doesn't mean it should be booked or it should be presented. That's not how this business works. As a matter of fact, it's not how any entertainment business works. Okay? There are a lot of times, and you can ask any director, and you can ask any producer who's ever worked on a movie or show of any real amount of time, and they'll tell you that no matter how far you push an envelope, there's always someone at the network that will pull you back. Everyone's been talking about Dave Chappelle's stand-up recently. I just watched it myself the other night. Fucking hilarious. But he told a story on there about standards and practices. Even on TV, standards and practices. AEW said, we can't do intergender, we can't do hardcore. Why? Standards and practices. Okay? And that is someone standing there with millions of dollars in his pocket saying, oh, man, you run such a great show. You do such a good job. The only thing is you can't do that. It's the same philosophy here. Yeah, you can push the envelope. You can have a flaming table. You can have thumbtacks. You can have, you know, every now and then a naked chick pull her top up. Whatever. There's always some ludicrous shit you can do. You can have attractions. I'm not saying Superhuman can't come to the show. Booked in a match, no bueno. It's no good. Not just for the attraction side, that which I just explained. The other side, too. I don't like the idea. And if you're a real pro wrestler, if you're a real wrestler in the game, and you're supporting this shit, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about what you're telling your fans. That any asshole with a cell phone in a backyard can get into the pro wrestling business. No training, no work, no nothing. All those dues that you paid to get in, he didn't pay none of them. I don't give a fuck what he jumped into in the backyard. Because at some point in time, we were all backyard wrestlers, right? We all did stupid shit like that. Trying to be Shawn Michaels and coming off the ladder onto a mattress and all that. We all did that. But at the end of the day, in order to get in, you got to play the game. You got to get trained. You got to get the shit kicked out of you. You got to pay those dues. You got to set up those chairs. You got to get those tickets. You got to put the ring ropes on. You got to pay those dues. He walked in literally off the street and will be booked against four real professional wrestlers. Not only is he getting booked in that match, period, but he's getting booked in that match over you. So what does that say about your talent level? That he's being booked because he, quote-unquote, will draw attention to the company, but booking you wouldn't draw attention to the company. There's just no positive spin to this, is my point overall here. For everyone who keeps trying to defend this shit, there's no positive way to look at it. What is the positive of him being involved in a wrestling promotion in any facet? Even if it was, listen, here in New York, AJ Pan, a buddy of mine, he brought it up on social media. Hey, I was a part of a company that brought in Stone Cold ET. He didn't fucking have a match. You understand what I'm saying? And everyone keeps... What is this weird, stupid comparison that people keep making? Well, what about guys like... What was it? LT. Or like... they were naming all of these world-class fucking athletes. Where they were like, well, they weren't wrestlers. Who gives a fuck? They are world-class athletes. That's why they were in a fucking pro wrestling match. Because, I tell you this, I'll make it fair. If you're going to make the comparison, let's say, to Superhuman to LT, I'll make it fair. I will give Superhuman my blessing. I will support this 100%. If Superhuman will take anywhere from 6 to 7 years attending NFL training camps and combines and doing two-a-days, okay, and hitting the weight room and changing his diet and working through injuries, when he does all the shit that LT did, then I will fucking co-sign. Until then, it ain't a fucking comparison. It's the same thing people were saying about Ronda Rousey. Ah, she came in and became champion right away. She's not even a wrestler. She is a world-class athlete, a Hall of Fame mixed martial artist, and an Olympian in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you fucking idiots. Same deal here. Don't fucking compare him to all these different people that came in that were legit athletes. There are other comparisons that were kind of fair, as a matter of fact. Like when people say, well, what about Drew Carey? Yeah, Drew Carey was made to look a fool, actually. He didn't take a single bump. He didn't do a single thing. Which falls in line with the whole, well, this is a gimmick thing. He may not even take a bump. He may not, blah, 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 blah. Drew Carey was a world-renowned comedian who was there to promote a pay-per-view special coming off of the heels of being one of the most famous celebrities in the world from his television show moving into another television show, The Price is Right. Superhuman is a fucking child who backyards behind his house, not even... In wrestling matches backyard, he just jumps into sharp objects. That's all that he does. It ain't a fucking comparison. There is no comparison. None. And he's not even the first. This is why I keep telling people, too, I have no problem with Superhuman, because he ain't the first. And, sadly enough, he won't be the last. Especially now with YouTube being as popular as it is. Every time someone hits a bump, anytime anyone on YouTube does any kind of numbers, all of a sudden, they're going to be asked for entertainment purposes. A lot of these famous YouTubers are now doing real ads. Postmates, I've seen a few of them. King Bach does Postmates. I think Amanda Cerny also does Postmates. A lot of these guys are doing regular-ass commercials for people, getting paid the big bucks to do basically what they were doing the whole time on Vine and just cell phones and all that shit. That's what they get paid to do now. It's the new... YouTube is basically the new, like, this is a virtual or a video resume now. If you can perform, if you can entertain, and you can put yourself on YouTube and you feel confident enough to put yourself out there, you can be, like, this big, huge megastar now. But even the fucking people that I just mentioned at least have some fucking modicum of fucking talent or ability to do something. This is just some guy jumping on shit. It's not the same fucking thing. Very few comparisons, just like Stone Cold ET, which, by the way, I didn't like either, because I think he executed a stunner in that match. He wasn't in a match, but he like executed a stunner on somebody. I think it might have been Pan. I'm not entirely sure, but it was the same deal. It was some dude drunk off his ass doing a Stone Cold impression with a fucking ET mask on. Bro, the fucking fans love it. Yeah, today they won't care about it tomorrow, and the wrestling business still has to be here. So burning yourself, if Superhuman is the bright light of that fucking company's weekend, just fold the fuck up. Seriously, there's no real reason for you to even fucking be around and doing shit. And this is, again, I'm not pining for a fucking job. So I don't really give a shit if they like to hear that shit or not. Any more than I'm sure they give a shit about how I feel about it. But I'm not alone in this feeling. And speaking of not being alone for this feeling, one last thing we're going to talk about before we get the fuck up out of here. Because I'm getting winded. I'm getting tired. I'm getting angry again, goddammit. I'm getting angry again. I'm not angry as fuck, but I'm getting irritated with this shit. The fact that I even have to say this shit is fucking dumb. It's dumb. Why isn't this shit common sense? There's another topic at hand. At this point, we're going to just get right into this shit because, to be honest with you, it made the news all over. Performance artist and pro wrestler or sports entertainer or whatever the fuck the other side of the argument is. I'm going to put it to you straight just like this. I mentioned it on social media. I'll say it again here. This time I'll say it in fucking words because now I'm getting hot. Now I'm shooting promos now because now this is for real now. This is it. It's promo time because it's pissing me off. I'm going to explain it to you like this. I'm going to keep it fair. I'm going to keep it right down the middle here with you, okay? If you consider yourself a performance artist as opposed to a professional wrestler who is performing a sport, although it be sports entertainment, it is still a sport. If you consider yourself a performance artist rather than that, fine. I will give that to you. I'm not going to tell you who you are. I'm not going to try to convince you of who you should be. If that is where you're headed with this, fine. But I will tell you this. I'm not a fucking performance artist. The people that I fucking roll with are not fucking performance artists. I didn't damn near break my back to be a performance artist. All that stuff that I told you guys earlier before about me trying to break into the business, all the traveling, all the money I spent trying, I didn't do all that to perfect my craft in the world of performing arts. Okay? I didn't have my elbows separated from my fucking body performing an art or doing performance art. I didn't go partially fucking colorblind in my left eye because I was doing performance arts. I didn't damn near go broke putting gas in my car to have me and my buddies travel around this fucking country to make bookings that were not going to cover travel costs to do more of this performing arts. Right now, I'm a podcast host. Before this, I was a ring announcer. Before that, I was a commentator. Before that, I was an interviewer. And before that, I was a professional fucking wrestler. That is it. That is the end of it. When I was growing up, I looked up to professional wrestlers. When I got into the business, I learned respect from professional wrestlers. That little opening that I put in the beginning of this episode, one of my favorite promos of all time. And if you want to get a promo across to your true point, you enunciate really hard on the true points. And I don't think I've ever heard a promo in my life ever more clear than when Shane said the sport of professional wrestling. I told people 1,000 times, if you truly believe that this is performance arts, you are going to be very fucking surprised and very fucking underprepared for training. If you watch Raw and you watch SmackDown and you watch professional wrestling and you say, man, I would love to fucking do that. If you show up to fucking school thinking that it's a performance art, you're going to be fucking disappointed. You are going to get the shit kicked out of you. You are going to have your fucking teeth broken. You're going to have your fucking arms fucked up. Your legs fucked up. You're going to get stretched. Because this ain't fucking performance art. I get it. There's a theatrical theme to the whole deal. Pomp and circumstance. Entrances. The gear. All that stuff. The style of wrestling on television when everything has to be big and open so everyone can see it. It's a dance routine. Boom, 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 boom. I get it. I can see how people would be easily confused. But alas, it is pro wrestling. It is a entertaining sport, not sports entertainment. At least that's what it is in its pure form. Even in the WWE, it is still an entertaining sport. It's less than everyone else because they concentrate a lot on that entertainment, World Wrestling Entertainment. They concentrate an awful lot on the entertainment part. Maybe not so much on the sport. Like I explained earlier, they wrestle within the confines of that story, but at the same time, they're still wrestling. There is still wrestling. When you go to Netflix, or you go to Hulu, or you start looking up Broadway plays and all that stuff, when you look up Ticketmaster, when you go to performance art sections, you don't see anything from Major League Baseball. You don't see anything from the National Football League. You see movies, television shows, interpretive dance, whatever the fuck. That's performing arts. Athletics very rarely ever gets thrown into performance arts. And there's a reason for that. Yes, it's predetermined. The cat's out of the bag. We know who's going over. We know who's not. But that in right there, and I've explained this before in situations and other times, and I'll say it again here, that's the difference between pro wrestling and everything else. I tell people all the time, the difference between pro wrestling and football is I know that kick is coming. That is the only difference. In football, they snap the ball and they run, and whatever happens, happens. In pro wrestling, it's the same shit. Once that bell rings, whatever happens, happens. The only problem is I know how it's supposed to go. And anybody who's ever been in a wrestling match will tell you, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't always go the way that it's supposed to go. Shit happens. That's where the athleticism and the skill of a sportsman comes into play. When an actor goes off script, you yell cut and you start over. We don't have that option inside of a pro wrestling ring. It's go. Physically go. I will never in my life, ever, call myself or call anyone that I've ever worked with and shared a ring with a fucking performance artist. If that's what you want to be called, fine. Then that's what you're called. But I want 100% commitment on that, which means when you start explaining shit to other people, I don't want to hear the words pro wrestler come out of your mouth. I don't want to hear the words pro wrestling business come out of your mouth. When you introduce yourself and you tell people what you do for a living, you tell them you are a performance artist. And you work in you're a performance artist and you work I can't remember the word. What the fuck the guy said? Performance. What was the name of the field he said? I can't remember. I just remember the conversation being involved with Joey Ryan, where Joey Ryan was taking a side here and bringing up the whole performance artist and doing the whole take with the shrug. And he was like, well, for everybody who doesn't believe it's not a performance art, it's funny that the biggest wrestling company in the world has a little something called the Performance Center. Yeah, physical performance, you dunce. That's why you're not in the fucking Performance Center, because you don't even know what the fuck it is. I love Joey Ryan, believe it or not. I know that I just snapped on him, but I love him. He's a really cool dude. I have never had a problem with him. I've worked a few times with him. He's a good guy. I'm not a fan of the dick flip shit, but I don't have to be a fan of the dick flip shit because I'm not the one paying him to do it or paying him not to do it. I have no contact with his wallet at all whatsoever, so it doesn't even concern me. But that was a stupid fucking comment. And to be honest with you, if it was my mother who made that comment, I would still sit here and tell you it's a stupid fucking comment. The WWE has the Performance Center. Yeah, physical performance, not performing arts, you ass. There's a fucking difference. The NFL Combine is a performance center. That doesn't mean they're in there dancing with tutus on and doing sign language for those who are of the hearing impaired. It's a physical sport that has a lot of communication between the two and a lot going on as far as the beginning and an end and orchestrating the entire show. But I still have to go in there and fucking work. Take a look at what goes in to the Breaking Ground series of what goes into being on NXT. The physical combine of it, the work that has to go in, the work that NFL players have trouble with. And tell me it's a fucking performance art. You know who calls wrestling performance arts? You know who people who say the dick flips and tampons, that all this bullshit is the evolution of pro wrestling? You know the kind of people that say these things? People who can't be pro wrestlers. That's the type of person that says these things. The people who can't do it. Pro wrestling has always been one particular thing. It's the way that it's always fucking been. Forever. It has evolved and changed over time. But even in its evolution, it stays very close to the core of what it's supposed to be. If you're doing something so fucking offbeat, so different, then it ain't what it's supposed to be. It is not the fucking evolution of something. It's you literally doing something else. Dick flips is performing art. The Cirque du Soleil shit that people does is fucking performance art. The tampon is performance art. None of that shit is wrestling. It just fucking isn't. Okay? If you had basketball players running up and down the court, shooting three-pointers and J's, and all of a sudden you institute the use of a tennis racket, it's not the evolution of basketball. You're just playing fucking tennis now. You're doing something else. You haven't evolved anything. Changing a style, speeding things up, whatever the case may be, you know, even down to the spots, choreographing these spots and these sequences and stuff, fine, whatever. It's a different style. I'll go with that. But flipping a guy over with your dick, or the worst shit that I've seen recently, and I know the people who book this company, and they know me, we have a good fucking relationship, but the truth is the fucking truth. That invisible man bullshit, garbage. Garbage. It's stupid. I don't give a fuck who pops for it. Dumb. It's just fucking stupid. It's dumb. And there's no evolution to that because it's not something that's going to continue on. We're not going to get a whole federation of invisible fucking people breaking through props. It's just not going to work out that way. This isn't an evolution. It's someone trying to get over by doing something dumb. Why can't it just be dumb? And this isn't like, that's another thing too. Oh, he's just hating. It's not hating. It's stating the obvious. It's dumb. There's nothing smart or entertaining about literally any of that shit. Maybe the first time, just because it's a surprise, it scares the shit out of everybody. It's like, what the fuck has happened? But to be doing it as a regular fucking gimmick, dumb. Dumb. Vince McMahon did God once. If God would have maintained his status as an active performer for all these years, it would have just been fucking ridiculous. First of all, he would have racked up all the championships, no doubt about that. He would have gone down as one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. Not performance artists, by the way. He would have been one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time if he would have done that. But that's my point. There is time and place for ridiculous shit. Wrestling has had so much ridiculous shit. You can't even go through all of it. And people love bringing that shit up, too. They're like, oh, we can't do... Like, for instance, like the dick flip. No, not even the dick flip. Fuck the dick flip. The invisible, what was it? The invisible man spears Mansplainer through a table. We can't do the invisible man spearing a guy through a table, but you can have Mae Young give birth to a hand. Again, stupid fucking comparison. Here's why. First of all, that shit was 20 years ago. All right? Even in the era of birthed hands, we never did an invisible man spot. Look at all the goofy shit they did on that television. Choppy choppy or pee-pee. The fucking hand. There was a bloodbath. There was a litany of stupid shit they did back then. Okay? Never thought about, even for a second, doing invisible man through a table shit. This is actually the same company that did God. Right? And why would you want to compare your situation to one that was equally killed? Because last I checked... Which is funny because a lot of people that compare this shit to the hand, they weren't even fucking alive when the hand happened. I was very much alive and older and old enough to remember what happened when that hand was born. And I gotta tell you, folks, for those of you who don't remember, it was not fucking received well. It was shit on pretty bad. So if you're telling me that the invisible man spearing Mansplainer through a table... It's kind of like Mae Young giving birth to a hand. Then congratulations, you moron. You just proved my point. Because that shit got killed from being dumb. Your shit should be killed for being dumb. Because it's fucking dumb. There's nothing good about any of that shit that you're fucking doing. None of it. Okay? I'm not a fucking performance artist. A lot of my fucking friends who damn near died for this business... giving up everything, their body, their time, their sacrifice, are not doing it for the love of performance arts. It's fucking pro wrestling. God damn it. And maybe when I'm dead and gone, and my son, because my son's not a big fan of fucking wrestling anyway, so he's not even that fucking invested. But as time goes on, if over time I get outvoted and it becomes performance arts and pro wrestling and sports entertainment, it's a done deal, fuck it. But until then... I'm holding it in my heart, I'm holding it in my head, and I'm holding it in these nuts, because you can performance arts, these nuts, my friend, no can do. So I'll leave you with that shit. Thank you for downloading, thank you for sharing, thank you for liking, thank you for downloading everything and sharing everything and just supporting the show the way that you have. And most importantly, thank you guys for enjoying episode 104.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.